This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, Jennifer Graham, thank you so much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. And, boy, there's been a lot going on this week. More COVID issues around the area, as last night the Hillsboro boys had to cancel their game with South County, as they are now dealing with some COVID issues. And we'll see what the next week looks like for the Toppers. We're scheduled to have them on the radio Tuesday against North Mac, but that game right now very much up in the air. Of course, the Litchfield boys spent the week on a COVID shutdown. We're going to be talking with their head coach, Nick Gernt, later on in the hour. Of course, Litchfield getting set to host the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational, which begins a week from today. We are also going to catch up with Nokomis head coach, Dan DeWerf, as Nokomis picked up a win last night over Lincolnwood 64-25, and it was Carter Sobel night at Nokomis, a very nice halftime ceremony to honor Carter. Of course, he is Nokomis' all-time leading scorer. He's the all-time leading scorer in Montgomery County, 2,199 points, 968 career rebounds. And as Gabe Cesaretti said last night during the presentation, 131 games is what Carter played in his Nokomis career. All were varsity games. He scored in every single game he played in high school, and I think reached double figures in 115 of them. Just, it was a staggering career for Carter Sobolis. He was just dynamite from his freshman year on, and he was recognized last night at the halftime of Nokomis and Lincolnwood. Now, coming up, of course, a week from Monday, we will have the Macoupin County Basketball Tournament, the 103rd installment of the Macoupin County Tournament. Hard to believe that thing's been around for 103 years. It'll be at Gillespie this year, and Gillespie is going to utilize both the high school gym and the Ben Gill Elementary gym, as they will have the girls' quarterfinals on the 17th over at Ben Gill, and then the boys' quarterfinals will be at the Pit on Monday the 17th, and then some of the games, the third-place game, the fifth-place game, as the week moves along, will also be at Ben Gill. So it's going to be a fun week. The Macoupin County Tournament, it's a special event, and, you know, I'm from, obviously, Bunker Hill and Macoupin County, and when you grow up in the county, that event, it has, there's something different about that week. It really is. I mean, it's a bragging rights scenario, and, you know, this year, the records of the teams aren't great by any stretch on the boys' side. North Mac's the only team at 500. Everybody else is below 500. But what that will make for is a highly competitive tournament. You know, North Mac, they're a little bit above everybody else, but not as much as they have been in years past. But the other six teams, you can put them into a hat. I mean, there's not a lot of separation between the other six teams. And, you know, TJ Wilson would tell you, there's not a lot of separation between us and the other six teams. So, I mean, it's a wide open event this year on the boys' side. The girls' side sees Staunton get the top seed as Corey Allen has the Lady Bulldogs rolling right. Of course, unfortunately, they've been on a COVID pause here over the last week. So, and that's the X factor with these COVID pauses, right? You never know how a team is going to respond coming out, because it's not like you can really necessarily have a bunch of normal practices during that time, depending on what the situation is. But Staunton is the top seed on the girls' side. Carthenville got the two seed. And the girls' tournament, to me, not nearly as wide open as the boys' tournament. You know, Carthenville, the way they can defend you, they could potentially cause Staunton some trouble. But Staunton is, at least to me, the clear favorite on the girls' side, whereas on the boys' side, it's wide open. It could go any number of directions. But the great thing about the Macoupin County Tournament this year is it's back to a bracket. Back to a bracket, as they had, you know, some with the different consolidations and whatnot. They didn't have a lot of teams the last few years, so it was all pool play. But it's back to seven teams in the boys, seven teams on the girls. And as Terry Tobe would always say, it's not really a tournament if you don't have a bracket. And we got the bracket for the Macoupin County Tournament this year. And, of course, this event for years was single elimination. And that had an entirely different feel. I don't ever remember it being single elimination. It was before my time, but you know, that back in the day, you block out that whole week for the tournament. And if you lose, you're done and you get nothing but practice the rest of the week. But this event, it always delivers, you know, it always does. And I always think of the last year of Girard High School. County was at Carlinville and they won it on a dunk. Dylan Burton won the county championship on a dunk. And I remember that night vividly. I was standing down on the floor and the building shook. The building shook. The Girard fans were on the stage and I thought the house might come down. I mean, it was an amazing atmosphere that night when they won it on the dunk. And really, since that time, TJ Wilson, he has had a dominant run here at the Macoupin County Tournament. So the North Mac Panthers are the top seed again. Mount Olive got the 2 seed on the boys' side. Southwestern the 3. Carlinville the 4. Bunker Hill seeded 5th. Gillespie 6th. Staunton seeded 7th. And to the point about, you know, just kind of throw the teams in a hat, Staunton beat Bunker Hill last night. So it's a wide open event, and the boys' quarterfinals will begin on Monday the 17th. On the girls' side, Staunton is the top seed, as I told you. Carlinville, the 2. Gillespie is seeded 3. Mount North Mac is seeded 4th. Southwestern, 5th. Bunker Hill is the 6th seed. And Mount Olive is the 7th seed on the girls' side. And again, the quarterfinals for the girls will be played at Ben Gill Elementary School. And we'll have coverage throughout the week at the Macoupin County Tournament. We'll have 2 games every night, Monday through Friday. And the championship games will be Friday night, the 21st at Gillespie. The girls game at 6. The boys championship will follow at 7:30. So that's the 103rd Macoupin County Tournament set to go on the 17th. Now the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational, that will begin a week from today. And we will have the Litchfield Pena broadcast for you next Saturday. That's a 4:00 tip and it'll be Litchfield and Pena. We'll have that live on WSMI FM 106 coming up next Saturday. Now, when you look at the McGraw Memorial Invitational, we've talked about it before. The beauty of this event is you get the mix of the 3A and the 2A, even some 1A flavor in there, of course, with Nokomis. But they start with pool play, 4 pools, 3 teams, and then based on how you finish in pool play, you go in to the corresponding bracket. It always makes for a great, great event. It's one of the premier in-season tournaments at the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational. Mattoon is the top seed there. Pena is the 2 seed, but Pena beat Mattoon last week handily on the road. So, I mean, when you look at it, the Pena Panthers, they are the odds-on favorite, at least in my mind, to win the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational. But as anybody, any coach, anybody would tell you, that don't matter. The games aren't played on paper. And if you bring your best, you're going to have a good shot. But that's the beauty of this event. Anybody really can beat anybody when you get in to the bracketed portion of the tournament. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We will return with more following these messages on WSMI.
918 right here on FM 106. Thanks to the following sponsors. Without them, we wouldn't be able to have the Sports Saturday program. They're Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Call 324-2400. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. And once again, here's WSMI's Tim Mize.
All right, Jennifer, thank you very much. Welcome back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Going to catch up with Litchfield head basketball coach Nick Gertin here in just a moment. We'll also talk with Nokomis boys head coach Dan DeWerf this morning and bring you our conversation from earlier this week with Litchfield wrestling coach Chance Davidson as the Purple Panthers are part of the Princeton Invitational today. Now, there are quite a few basketball events going on. The 99th annual Winchester Invitational tips off today with quarterfinals. Carlinville playing there. They've got a 1:30 game against Triopia. Liberty is the top seed over there at the Winchester Invitational. Taylorville is having their shootout today. Those games begin at 1 o'clock. Greenville, part of the St. Joe Ogden shootout, I should say. They're taking on Paxton Buckley Loda today at 11. And then the Highland shootout happens today. And that And you can make the case that's the premier shootout event in the entire state year after year, as they have not disappointed. They got Cardinal Ritter coming across. They got Chaminade coming across. They got CBC coming across the river. And they got several schools from Chicago as well. So the Highland Shootout getting underway this morning at 10 o'clock. Coming up in a week, the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational at Litchfield will get underway, and Nick Gernt will get his first taste of that as the head coach of the Purple Panthers. We're happy to have Coach Gernt on the phone with us right now. And, Coach, good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, doing all right. And I guess, first off, what was this last week like? It had to be a very long and frustrating week shut down with the COVID.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I tested positive earlier last week, so I've been quarantined this whole week, and it's just been, you know, just lots of reflection and trying to get better, just internally, not externally.
Right. And you know, when stuff like this happens, it does put things into perspective a little bit. You know, there are things more important than basketball, obviously, health being number one.
Oh, most definitely. You know, when I talked to the team about, you know, like, hey, this was the decision. You know, that was one thing that we definitely talked about, was, you know, like, you know, things could have been much worse than they are. You know, and you know, we're lucky to be playing, and you know, like, we'll, you know, we talk about overcoming obstacles, and you know, this is just another obstacle that we just, you know, unfortunately had to overcome.
What is the status moving forward? You guys, will you be ready to roll this coming week, or?
As far as I know, we should be. I haven't heard, you know, yes or no from administration yet. But I believe the plan was to kind of, you know, take some precautions this week, and then hopefully next week we can get back to up and running full speed. So as far as I know, we should be able to, but I haven't heard definitively yes or no yet, but hopefully that's the plan, is to be able to start back up on Monday.
And, you know, there's no good time for something like this to happen. But, boy, for you guys, it just came at a terrible time because, man, you guys were coming off that beautiful week at Carlinville. The enthusiasm is there from the fan base. You can see the passion with the kids. And then just, boom, you get shut down for a week. But as you kind of look back at your season so far, Nick, you have to be absolutely thrilled with the way that your kids have come out, performed, and competed.
Oh, most definitely. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, controlling what we can control, and, you know, always coming out and, you know, high energy, and, you know, we put a lot of emphasis on our defense, and I think that kind of shows, you know, in the way that we play. You know, last week at Carlinville was just, I mean, that was such a fun experience for the guys, you know, playing that championship game, and, you know, before the starting lineups were announced, and, you know, hearing just, you know, the Hillsborough, you know, get announced, and then us getting announced, and our fans just, you know, just were absolutely crazy, and the place was packed, and it was a wild experience. And I mean, I think that's only going to benefit us in the future, because, I mean, you know, we talked about how, you know, like, special and important those moments are. You know, it's something that team will be able to look back on and be like, man, that was, even though the outcome didn't go our way, that was a really, really fun kind of atmosphere to play in.
And, I mean, you could tell the Litchfield community, they are behind this group of boys. You guys, I've told you before, you play such an exciting brand of basketball, and you're an uncomfortable play with the pressure that you put on. And just talk a little bit about the mentality that your kids have to play like that the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we you know, we kind of tried to instill from day one. You know, is that, you know, the ability to play the type of defense that we want to play consistently. You know, you have to have, you know, pressure. You have to have high energy. You have to have, you know, a solid bench, which, I mean, thankfully we really do. And, you know, guys have kind of bought in, extremely, extremely hard. I mean, we play, 10 guys a night usually. And, you know, it's just, you know, I think they're having fun, playing it. And, you know, that's kind of the biggest reason why I think we've had that buy-in is they're just, you know, they enjoy playing that type of style. And, you know, like I heard a lot of the community say, like, you know, we are just really fun to watch. And that really, you know, makes me, you know, kind of proud as a coach that these guys have been able to just kind of go out there and, you know, kind of show all that hard work and dedication that they've put in, you know, since, you know, they were little, is now kind of showing, like, hey, this is, you know, wins and losses aside, like these guys just play really, really fast and really, really hard. And that's, you know, one of the things that, you know, as a coach, that's what you try to get all the time.
And you got no seniors on the roster, which, I mean, that obviously bodes well moving forward. And I don't know there's a better sophomore duo than Victor McGill and Keenan Powell. Nick, these two dudes, they are electric, and they are special as sophomores.
Yeah, definitely. They, like, I knew kind of going into the Carlinville tournament that, you know, like, this was going to be kind of a good, you know, kind of test to kind of see where we were at, and then kind of have those two, you know, lead the entire tournament, both of them, you know, in scoring. That was just, you know, like, heads and tails above what we were kind of expecting. But, I mean, yeah, those two are fun. You know, they work well together. They push each other in practice all the time. And then, I mean, you throw in, you know, other guys coming off the bench. I mean, Bryce Hires is, you know, kind of the glue that kind of makes our defense work right now. And that kid works his tail off. And then, you know, you have Tate and Carson and Gavin and, you know, Nate Fetter has been, you know, playing really well. It's kind of coming in as Keenan's, you know, replacement at the top of our zone. I mean, we just got a lot of guys that are, you know, willing to work hard and, you know, willing to kind of push each other in practice. And I think that's what's kind of been our best, you know, kind of motivator this year is, you know, like, you can't take a day off because, you know, there's guys that are going to push you and are going to make you better every single day.
And we talk, you know, McGill and Powell, they get a lot of the headlines because they make a lot of the flashy, splashy plays. But you mentioned the other kids, and they are the glue that really holds it together because they just do their job, and they don't necessarily get a lot of fanfare for it. Maybe stuff they do doesn't really show up in a box score, but it helps you win ball games.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like one of the big things that we kind of talk about is kind of knowing, you know, like your role. You know, we're starting to kind of figure out, you know, our roles a little bit. And again, you know, we've got a lot of guys that are, you know, kind of bought into that role, but aren't necessarily, you know, set in that role. So, you know, they're kind of pushing for, you know, increased playing time or increased, you know, offensive production or things like that. So again, you know, that's going to push everybody to be better because, I mean, if you've got, you know, 10 guys that are fighting for playing time, I mean, there's only so many minutes out there. So, I mean, everybody's going to have to go out there and, you know, kind of help because now we can kind of dictate some things based on matchups and all that stuff. So, I mean, having that junior class and kind of pairing them with the sophomores and, you know, it's really been nice to just kind of have like different kind of like pieces that we can kind of put in at different times and, you know, really just kind of have everybody kind of working towards that same goal, which is being a successful team.
You know, that championship game against Hillsborough, it most 99% of the time when you have a game like Victor McGill had in that championship game, it's the game of the tournament. It just so happened Drake Vogel did what he did in that championship. But just talk a little bit about Victor in that championship game, because every time it looked like Hillsborough was maybe going to pull away, he came back with a big play.
Yeah, Victor is definitely, you know, extremely, extremely competitive. I think that's kind of the best way to put him. He works hard. I mean, he studies film. I mean, that young man just, I mean, he's the definition of someone who just loves basketball. And, you know, he definitely, you know, just kind of had that game where it just was like, you know, he decided he was going to get to the basket. And, you know, and we kind of talk a lot about, you know, like when he gets to the basket, you know, good things happen for us because, you know, he's either going to shoot it and more than likely, you know, come up with a high percentage shot, or, you know, when all eyes start to kind of focus on him, that's when, you know, other guys can start to, you know, kind of get a little bit more open and cut off of that, or, you know, set up for a corner three or something, or, you know, be set up in a position for a better chance for an offensive rebound. So, I mean, we talk a lot about, you know, him being able to get to the basket and then being able to kind of make his teammates better as well. And then it just kind of seemed that, you know, when against Hillsborough, when he kind of came off a screen or kind of attacked, the lane just kind of opened up a little bit for him. And, you know, he was able to kind of capitalize on that.
You know, dunks in small school high school basketball are rare. Maybe not so much for Keenan Powell. He had three of them in that tournament. And Nick, just a sophomore, this kid is, he gets off the floor at a very impressive rate.
Yeah. The athleticism that young man has is quite high. You know, we've got a couple of guys that can throw it down. They just haven't done it in a game yet. I mean, Tate Zabrinnick was actually the first one in practice to throw one down. And then Bryce Hires just, about a month ago had his first one. So we've got quite a bit of athleticism. You know, Keenan, you know, he's been working towards it. You know, he practices it after practice every, you know, we try to end every practice on a dunk. And you know, he had the opportunity. He's had a couple of opportunities this season, just kind of missed one, or got fouled in the process. And then, you know, once he kind of got that steal against that first one, you know, I kind of knew what he was going to try and do. And in my head, I was kind of thinking like, hey, this game is not, it is a little close for you to be trying it, but I kind of, you know, let him go. And I was like, okay, if he makes it, then this place is going to go crazy. And he did. And, you know, you could kind of tell. And then, you know, the next couple of games when, you know, you could just kind of see it in his eyes before he even, you know, got to the paint, where I was like, okay, he's going to throw this one down. And, you know, I think once he hit that first one, I think his confidence just, you know, just exploded. And I think any time that now that he kind of gets that opportunity, I think he's going to try for it.
In small school ball too, you know, it's only 2 points, but a lot of times it is a big momentum swing when you can get a dunk in a small school game. And we certainly saw that with Litchfield over the week at Carletonville. Nick, you guys got, of course, the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational coming up a week from today. This will be your first experience as the Litchfield head coach with the Invitational. What have you been told to expect?
You know, I've coached in the tournament before, you know, so I know a little bit about the tournament, you know, kind of how it's set up. But, you know, there's a lot of buzz in the community. You know, people that I can see, you know, talking to me or stopping me on the street or, you know, kind of leading up or prior to this, you know, kind of shutdown that we had. And, you know, one thing that I can say is, like, we have, like, a really, really solid tournament. I mean, this field is no joke. I mean, when you have Taylorville as the seventh seed, you know, I think Greenville's the eighth. I mean, and we saw just how good Greenville is. You know, like this tournament is really, really good. You know, you have like Mattoon and Pena and Triad is really young, but they're really good. I mean, there's just going to be a lot of really, really high level, you know, downstate basketball being played. And, you know, we get the kind of the ability to kind of see it all on our home court and, you know, see kind of where we compete and stand with some of these, you know, really high-level teams.
I love the mix of 3A and 2A, even 1A in there with Nokomis. But to me, the best part about this event is the way that it is structured with the pool play and then feeding in to the different brackets. It just lends itself for competitive basketball all week long.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you look at the pools, you know, like they're just like there's really no, you know, way to kind of tell like who's going to come out of each pool. You know, I mean, like we have Pena and Taylorville. And I mean, you have three, you know, pretty good teams. Like, I mean, Pena's, you know, we saw them earlier this year. They're, you know, exceptional. Taylorville has, you know, been beating a lot of really high level teams in the fourth quarter. And just haven't been able to kind of finish. I mean, they, you know, were beating Lincoln by, you know, in the fourth quarter, and Lincoln's lost, you know, just only a handful of games this year. So, I mean, yeah, the pool play, I mean, you get to see, you know, some really, really good basketball, you know, for 3 days. And then, yeah, then you turn around and it's like, okay, now you've got, you know, the best of the pool play in this tournament where it's, you know, kind of winning, you're able to play for a championship. I mean, it's a fun tournament, that's for sure. I mean, just the way that it's set up and the amount of quality teams that we have in it is just, you know, I think one of the better tournaments, especially kind of one of the, you know, after Christmas tournaments that you're going to see in Central Illinois.
No doubt about it. We'll have the Litchfield Panda game on the radio next week. That'll be a 4 o'clock tip. Nick, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and I hope the Purple Panthers get back to 100% healthy here starting next week.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, that's Nick Gerndt, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. As you heard him say it, as far as he knows and understands, they should be able to get back going starting next week. We certainly hope so. And obviously, Hillsboro last night had to go into a COVID pause, so we will wait and see what their status is moving forward, headed into the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational next week. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Nokomis Boys head coach Dan DeWerf when Sports Saturday continues.
9:38 right here on FM 106. Thank you to the following Sports Saturday sponsors, and some of them include Huff & Sons Funeral Home in Raymond, Hillsboro and Farmersville, Mark Steeren, your State Farm agent in Litchfield, Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield, and Prairie Town Feed Service. They're serious about their service. Once again, here's WSMI's Tim Mize.
All right, Jennifer Graham, thank you so much. Welcome back here to Sports Saturday. A couple of finals from last night. A game heard on WSMI. Nokomis over Lincolnwood, 64-25. Staunton beat Bunker Hill, 44-31. Carthenville winners over Gillespie, 56-36. Pena beat Southwestern, 61-38. Vandalia over Greenville, 53-49. New Berlin beat Auburn, 50-49. Williamsville over Illini Central, 41-31. Lincoln beat Mahomet Seymour, 47-33. It was Triad topping Jersey, 51-45. Springfield High beat Jacksonville, 59-50. Southeast over Rochester, 62-39. Griffin beat MacArthur, 84-69. And Glenwood topped Eisenhower, 57-49 last night in boys basketball. I believe joining us on the phone right now is Nokomis boys basketball head coach Dan DeWerf, as Nokomis last night beat Lincolnwood 64-25. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Tim. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. So you're in the concession stand. Have you been going long enough to have a hot seller yet today?
Yeah, not long enough just yet, but nothing's messed up just yet. I haven't messed it up yet.
Well, that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Give it time, though, and that very well might happen.
Dan, last night, I mentioned in the pregame, the night before against Calvary, you guys struggled shooting the basketball. And I said, sometimes it goes the other way the next time out. And that sure seemed to be the case last night. You guys shot the basketball extremely well. And Ryan Eisenbarth, he didn't miss a shot.
No, he played very well. He, you know, made some shots around the basket, hit some 15 footers as well. He played, you know, offensively pretty flawless in the first half. So definitely happy with that. And I think more importantly, our defense kind of kicked in. It was non-existent the night before against Calvary. So that was more than anything which was nice to see.
I mean, that has always been the calling card for Nokomis as the defense go, the skins go. And just talk a little bit about the mentality that you guys have on the defensive end, because I feel like it's different than a lot of defensive mentalities out there.
Yeah, that's probably been our biggest thing, though, this year. We haven't been as consistent defensively as what we would like. I mean, you know, we try to pressure the ball, and, you know, we run the 1-2-2, and, you know, we look for traps, and, you know, like with any program during this COVID age, everybody's, I'm sure, gone through this. We struggled to get everybody together to practice. We were talking about it last night. I think out of our top six guys that play, they practiced once together in the last 5 weeks. And, you know, that's been kind of a struggle getting us to practice and everybody be on the same page. And you know, defense, I think that's kind of shown the fact that we haven't practiced a lot together on the defensive end. And hopefully during this stretch run, second half of the season, we'll be able to get that together.
And, I mean, I know every coach, no matter the sport, they always talk about control what you can control. But, my goodness, over these last 2 years with all this COVID stuff that has gone on, I can't even imagine how frustrating it is just from a basketball perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been tough. You know, probably 10 or 15 years ago, I would have been pulling my hair out about it. But, like you mentioned, you just worry about things you can control. And there's, from one day to the next, unfortunately, you really don't know what's going to happen, especially, like you said, these last couple of years. So the guys that are there try to make the most of the practice time. And I think more than anything is you've got to make sure that you have your seventh, your eighth, your ninth, your tenth man all on the same page too. Because they got to be ready to play, because it could be from one day to the next that, you know, you might be missing somebody, and your 10th man might be asked to come in and play significant parts of the minutes. We've had to do that a number of games this year. So this kind of is what it is right now.
You know, Dan, when I think about your depth chart, so to speak, you know, Reese Lohman, to me, this kid, every time I see him play, he just impresses me with his timing and his ability to block shots.
Yeah, Reese has a special ability. He may not be, you know, he's not 6'6", but he's long. He's got good timing. He's got good jumping ability. You know, this year we've kind of played him some on the wing as well as down low, and it's been an adjustment for him. But once it all clicks, Reese, I think he's going to be a special player. You know, he's thinking a lot right now rather than just anticipating and reacting. And it's going to come in time. He's just a sophomore, but I think his best basketball is definitely ahead of him.
When you've got a lot of nice talent there on that sophomore class and the freshman classes, you started a freshman last night in Ian Keller. And if you're at Nokomis and you're starting varsity as a freshman, I don't care if it's one game or every game, that says something about the kid.
Yeah. Yeah, he's coachable. I think probably the biggest thing that, you know, he's kind of understood his role when he has got in there is to play defense and take care of the ball. He anticipates pretty well on the defensive end and works hard. And, you know, like I said, you know, just knowing your role. And he's not going to be asked to come in and score 20, 25 points a game. But, you know, he's done what we've asked. He's done it pretty well. So it's been a nice addition, I guess you'd say, that we weren't really anticipating. But, again, kind of going back to COVID, a few games we had to throw him into that spot. He's done well with it.
Sink or swim, right?
Yeah, exactly. So.
Dan, it was a very neat ceremony last night, obviously, honoring Carter Sabla. I know you had your kids out of the locker room at half to take in that ceremony. Tradition is so important. But when you look at a kid like Carter Sabla, they said it last night, he played 131 games, every one of them a varsity game, scored in all of them. His production was just staggering over his 4 years.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you know, his role was always, you know, to be a presence down low, but especially those last 2 years, he expanded his game and, you know, he kind of took it outside just as much as he did inside. And he kept getting better. And, you know, you see the results, not just individually, but team-wise, too. It was a very productive 4 years for the Redskins program.
And, you know, it doesn't ever seem to matter with Nokomis in terms of the players. The mentality is always there. It's like, I feel like when I watch Nokomis, I don't know if you guys are up 25 or down 25. Now, granted, you're not often down 25, but you get my point.
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw one of our games where we were down 25 against Madison.
I did.
And I will say about that game is that we kept playing, even though we, you know, seemed to turn the ball over, seemed like every other possession against them. But they have a tendency to cause a lot of teams to do that. But, you know, that's the biggest thing is that we've been trying to get across to the guys is it doesn't matter if it's at 7:30 on a Friday night or as we're going to be getting ready to practice at 10:30 in the morning on a Saturday with nobody in the gym. You got to play the same way. At most of the time it's been there, but there's been some times where it hasn't been this year, but hopefully it kicks in and stays kicked in the rest of the year.
Now, we haven't talked since the holiday, but Nokomis was back in the holiday tournament. And sometimes when it's been a long time, I like to put things in presidential administration terms. Nokomis hadn't been in a holiday tournament since the Reagan administration. But that had to be a fun week of basketball for you guys over at Vandalia.
It was. It was. I mean, we played, you know, teams with the exception of Pena that we don't have on our schedule. And, you know, it was different. We played two games in one day. We played at 11, and then we played, I think, that afternoon at 3:30. Kind of test, you know, your mental toughness as well as your conditioning. And then, you also have played a few more guys off the bench. You know, overall, it was a pretty good week. Hopefully, come February, it's going to make us a better team. And, you know, I know that the guys, you know, I'm sure that they don't miss having to practice for 2 weeks because that's what we would have done if we would have had the previous schedule. But I think we got better over the week, and, you know, we'll look forward to continuing to stay in the tournament in the years to come.
Don't think they missed 2 weeks of practice. That's weird. I would figure they would have relished that opportunity.
Yeah, I know. Those 2 weeks of practice under Coach Kimbrough was always something that kind of put a damper on the holidays during the 2.5 to 3 hours we spent. But it without a doubt, it made us better to come second half of the season. So, contest the results that came with it.
No, you cannot. And obviously, it'll be the same this year as you guys will come right into the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational at Litchfield. And Dan, this has always been a great week for Nokomis. You know, you're the small guy in this tournament. Not very often do you get to go into an event where you're not the odds-on favorite. But man, year in, year out, you guys are better for competing in this Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational.
Yeah, we'll be tested. I think Triad and Basalto are in our pool, which are, I think Triad's 3A. I know Basalto is.
Yeah, they're both 3A.
So playing in you know, that type of competition is going to make it better, you know, going forward. And then, you know, you've got the good, you know, 2A schools. Pena is playing as well as anyone is in the area now. And, you know, you've got Hillsborough and Greenville. And then, you know, Litchfield as well. So, you know, not to mention Matt Toon and Taylorville. You know, it's going to be good competition no matter when we play.
And, you know, you mentioned Pena. You saw them over at Van Dia. I think you got them again coming up next week perhaps. But just talk a little bit about what – I mean, they are a dynamite team. What makes them so dangerous?
They're deep. They go 8 or 9 deep, and there's not much drop-off from the first guy to the eighth one. They're very athletic, and they're skilled as well. They put pressure on you on the defensive end, and you got to be able to execute, and you can't run away from that pressure. And then they've got guys that can shoot too. They've got 4 or 5 guys that can kind of spread the floor, and then they can take you off the dribble or post you up. They've got a lot of different weapons on both ends of the floor, and you've got to play really well to beat them. We've got them on Thursday and at their place, and we're going to have to be on top of our game to give ourselves a chance to come out on top.
Then, final question: where do you want to see the improvement in your club moving forward here down the stretch?
Just being consistent. Consistent on the defensive end, consistent taking care of the ball and in our execution. That's something we've struggled with this year from one game to the next. We look like a completely different team in terms of like our defensive intensity last night compared to the night before, and that shouldn't happen. But hopefully moving forward we get practice, we're going to get a chance to practice 5 times next week in addition to playing Pena. We stay healthy, and it'll carry over into the Litchfield tournament.
Sounds great. Dan DeWert, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. I guess go sell some popcorn.
I'll do my best.
All right. That is Dan DeWert, the head basketball coach at Nokomis. We're going to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. On the other side, we will bring you our conversation with Litchfield wrestling coach Chance Davidson as the Purple Panthers competed at the Princeton Invitational today. We'll bring you our conversation with Chance when Sports Saturday continues. Joining us on Sports Saturday right now is Litchfield wrestling coach Chance Davidson. And Chance, it's always good to catch up with you and talk. And boy, it's got to be nice for you to have wrestling back in the part of the calendar where it belongs.
Absolutely. It's nice to go back to the winter season. I did enjoy the spring season, but we get a lot more fight time in during the winter. And we don't have to share athletes with other sports. So we got a lot more wrestlers this year than I've had in the past. So it seems to be working out in our favor.
Well, and I know for you and Corey, you're building this program. And so to have higher numbers this year has to really be satisfying for you.
Absolutely, and they're all, I think we got 21 total, and of the 21, I think 6 have wrestled for a coin eye in the past. Most of the kids that we have are brand new to the sport. We got a couple that wrestled in middle school, but most of them are brand new to the sport, but they're all learning the styles and techniques that we like for them to use, so that's a plus of it. And they're all coming in every day willing to work as hard as they can. So it's a good group of kids to have.
From a coaching perspective, it has to be really nice to have maybe some kids who haven't necessarily been around wrestling, so you get to go to the roots of wrestling and really get in there with the coaching.
Absolutely. It's awesome being able to do that, but at the same time, it's also whenever they're wrestling, like, why don't you do this? But then you got to take a step back and like, well, they probably don't even know that at this point. And it's hard for them to understand, just body movement and kinesiology and the way stuff operates in a match, to know that the technique we show isn't going to be 100% perfect in live speed, live match time, We have one kid that is picking up really well. He just overthinks everything instead of just doing what feels right. So it's stuff like that that we are working on getting them to adapt to
thinking,
when they're actually in the match.
Thinking versus reacting, that's always the balance, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Chance, one of the great things, obviously, with the regular season is you get back to tournaments, and tournaments and invites are such a huge part of the wrestling calendar. And I know coming up today, obviously you're part of the Princeton Invitational, but last week or the week before, it was Abe's Rumble in Springfield. And just talk about those types of events and the experiences and just the atmosphere that they provide?
For you have nothing but kids that have been wrestling for 9 or 10 years there, so the level of competition is, it's fierce compared to our practice room, you know. But that's what ultimately going to make us better and prepare us for the hopeful postseason at the end of the year, so we're not underprepared, you know.
How would you assess your performance so far in some of those bigger matches?
As far as individuals, I mean, we haven't had our full lineup yet. We've been struggling with injuries and obviously sicknesses and stuff. But as far as individual performance goes, I think that everybody has performed at their level, if not better, when it's really time to get it with people of the same caliber, if not better than they are from the start of the match.
And with your numbers up, I would imagine you're able to fill a majority of the weight classes consistently here?
Typically. At Abe's, I was on day two, I only had 9 kids, so I was short 5 weight classes, which sometimes gives us a 30-point disadvantage in a match. So it's hard to come back from that. But like I said, overall, as far as individual goes, I was very happy with how everyone performed, especially on that day.
And you mentioned you got a lot of new kids in the program, but you've also got some familiar faces and some very familiar names as well.
I do. Alex Powell's having a great year at 106. He's a junior this year. He's coming in every day ready to grind and showing it in his matches. Seth Kenter's having a really good season. He didn't wrestle for us last year because of the COVID season, but he came back this year, and his focus point and his work ethic and his leadership skills as far as being a team leader. He's also a junior, but his leadership skills are phenomenal. It's great to have him back.
When I think back to the last couple of years with Will Carlisle, we all know what he did with the state championships, but I remember talking to you at the time about he was kind of leaving a legacy that was going to last beyond his time actually wrestling for Litchfield. Are you seeing that this year? It sounds like you probably are with the numbers up. There's got to just be a lot of enthusiasm and motivation in the program right now.
I think it helped as far as recruitment of numbers, I guess. We also have our football coaches doing a great job of persuading his kids to that wrestling will benefit them on the football field. My big guys, I mean, a couple of them want to play college ball, and they understand now that being able to wrestle will help them pave that path to playing college ball.
You know,
so there's a lot of different attributes to the population on our team, I think. And I do think that Will's success is part of it, for sure.
You know, Chance, is always interesting. I think there is a great correlation between wrestling and football, you know, and so much times in football, people don't think about the quote unquote big uglies down there in the trenches, but they're the ones who make it go. And those wrestling skills and those offensive line, defensive line skills, there's a lot of interchangeable parts there.
I agree. You learn so much about just the hip movement of your body and stuff to be able to perform the blocks that you need to perform for your team to be able to keep moving the ball continuously, play after play. I think that a lot of that would transpire from a sport like wrestling. And there's all kinds of different other being able to move off the whistle quickly. There's so many benefits from the sport for to help with your football style.
This Princeton Invitational, this is one of those fun events, and you're going to get elite competition.
Absolutely. I'm only going to take 3 of my wrestlers. I'm going to take Alex Powell. Seth Kenter dropped down to 152 this week, so he's going to go there, and Hunter Hancock will be wrestling at 182 pounds this weekend. I think they've all, especially after the Aves Rumble, I think those three really deserved a shot at this tournament. And I mean, it's like competing at the state tournament during the regular season. So in my opinion, you really need to deserve your spot to attend such an event.
You mentioned dropping down to weight class. Is it after the holidays? Is there ever a time where some kids come in and you think, uh-oh, they had a little too much turkey?
Usually, yeah. this year, everyone came back about the same. You know, no one overdid it. I think they were all relatively smart about what they were intaking and consuming, and very cognizant about it as well.
Chance, how special is it for you to be with your brother Coy in charge of the Litchfield Wrestling Program? It has to be just such a thrill for you every day you wake up.
Absolutely. We've been doing it together since we were 4 and 5 years old, you know, so it's something that we've kind of grown into, and to be given the opportunity to begin with was a lucky draw, really. And now we get to continue to do it, hopefully for the next 20 or 30 years, you know.
Now, I was saying about it, you know what would be a great fundraiser would be Chance versus Coy.
I don't think a lot of people would pay for that one.
Oh, I think you might be surprised.
You never know. We've actually had people talk about doing a like retired people contest up at the school, and I'm like, I don't know how that's gonna go. We're gonna have to have a heck of an insurance premium for that.
Hey, if they can do alumni football games, you can have an alumni wrestling match.
Right.
But Chance, I think though, to that point, on a more serious note, as you build the program, the kids who have wrestled for you in the past, they stay connected to the program because the wrestling family, it's a tight-knit group of people.
It absolutely is. Even the parents of the past alumni wrestlers that have wrestled for us always stay in contact and are willing to help out. Like, we got our big tournament here at the end of the month, and a lot of them will show up. The parents and the wrestlers both will show up to help us wherever we need them. And so we all stay pretty close, in my opinion, once the kids graduate, the parents and the kids also stay close to the program.
Awesome. Chance Davidson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time today, sir, and we always look forward to following the Litchfield Wrestling Program.
Thanks for having me, Tim. I appreciate it.
That's Chance Davidson with Litchfield Wrestling, and they are up at the Princeton Invitational today. Couple of notes here. The Taylorville Shootout, the South County Kewaunee Weathersfield game at 1 o'clock. That has been canceled. Looks like some travel issues with Weathersfield concerning the weather. So the South County Kewaunee Weathersfield game at the Taylorville Shootout is off for today. Plains and St. Thomas More will go at 3. Carletonville up at the Winchester Invitational today. They will tip at 1:30 as they take on Triopia. The Greenville Comets at the St. Joe Ogden Shootout. They play Paxton Buckley Lota this morning at 11. The Greenville Girls at the Paws Shootout in Bree Central, they will take on Fairfield today at 3:30. Of course, we will have all sorts of basketball coming up from the Macoupin County Tournament beginning on the 17th. The Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational tips off a week from today. All sorts of great tournament action coming to Mid-Illinois in the coming days and weeks. Thanks to Litchfield head coach Nick Gert, Nokomis head coach Dan DeWerf, and Litchfield wrestling coach Chance Davidson for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. Remember, you can always find scores on the scoreboard at WQSMIRadio.com. For Jennifer Graham, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done here on WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carletonville, and Greenville.